got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage.
From comics and games to movies and TV, this is the Nerd Show on 1310 KFKA.
Nerd rage. Nerd rage.
Now here are the nerds.
Happy Nerds Day, everybody. You are tuning in to the Nerd Show on 103.1 or 1310 KFKA, or wherever we are online, 1310kfka.com, Spotify, iTunes, all the other things. I'm Nick. We have Scott and Micah here with a couple of guests that we'll introduce in a moment, but we are also known as Darth Monger. Darth Ambivalus.
Darthus Pincus.
I made a wager yesterday to Scott. It was one of the dumbest wagers I've had. So I have to go by Darthus Pincus today.
You do?
Yep.
And that's okay. We still love you, and we'll call you Darthus Pincus.
I'm glad I didn't gamble and say, hey, one of us has to get a light vanity plate that says Pincus
next time.
Yeah, that would have been... I would not have taken that bet, even if I was...
Because you knew you were going to beat me, and you're like, I can't put Nick through this.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not... If I'm not willing to lose and go by the terms of the bet, I'm not going to bet. Even if people say, oh, it's a sure thing. There's no such thing as a sure thing.
That's true. That's true.
Except for death and taxes, and there's something else that I'm trying to think of.
Oh, I just knew what the death and taxes.
Oh, I think there's something else. It has to do with fandom, pop culture. But there'll be another Marvel movie someday, maybe. That's it.
You know what? I'm going to buy my own island. So you're saying death and taxes is irrelevant because I will die, but I won't have to pay taxes anymore.
Depends what territory you're in, Micah.
I will have my own territory.
I don't think I'll visit.
Wow. That could be interesting.
I will live in maritime law.
There you go. All right. Well, Nick, we have a couple guests. You should introduce them.
Hello, guest number one and guest child. Wait.
Darth Guest.
Darth Guest.
Darth
That
Guest.
Is what I will be called.
Yeah. We've got James and his dad, Chris, who Scott and I know from a little watering hole downtown and our love and adoration of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And his son, James, has been listening to the Nerd Show, studying hard, and is excited to talk some Star Wars with us. So, James, is this your first time on radio?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Can you get a little closer to the microphone? Perfect. We didn't do a good sound
like
check.
That?
Yes, and even your dad can pull that close. Good.
Yeah.
Come on, Micah. Micah refuses to make eye contact with James because James walked in with a Kansas City Chiefs hat.
Go Chiefs.
Okay, first of all, James' back is to my head, so I cannot see his eyes. I'm staring at the back of his head.
Do we have googly eyes we can tape to James's head?
Or maybe we could just put the Kansas City Chiefs hat on his head backwards.
Oh,
so Micah would have to look at it the whole show.
There's a trash can over there.
Oh, my gosh. What a week of Star Wars. James, welcome to the show. Chris, glad to have you on as
Thank
well
you.
Here in the Aloe Fiber Studios. But we had an epic week last week of Star Wars. I mean, two episodes of The Bad Batch to wrap up the second season.
Yeah.
And another Mandalorian episode. So, oh, my gosh. Let's talk Bad Batch first, huh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Season finale, episode two. James, did you start, what's your background with Star Wars? Do you have, one, a favorite movie, and then, two, a favorite TV show?
I gotta go with, my favorite TV show has to be The Mandalorian.
All right.
I like The Mandalorian, because they have to keep their helmet on.
You don't like seeing anyone's faces, do you?
No, you barely don't.
Oh, that's good. I mean, you know, when Scott and I are costumers in the 501st, and Chris, you've suited up, haven't you?
I've had the privilege, yes.
And it's really neat, but there is something about when you take your helmet off that kind of loses its magic. Now, granted, we're seeing them as real, Mandalorians,
yeah,
and bounty hunters, so, you know, we know they're real. But for people like me and Scott, it's just kind of disappointing when you, well, okay, maybe it's just me that I get those comments of, wow, we're really disappointed with how you look.
I think that when you wear a helmet and you're doing stuff like that, there's a level of anonymity that you get to enjoy. So nobody knows,
I agree,
what you look like, who you are, and the concept of being you know, this faceless character, but you are a very well-known character is a lot of fun. So I think that's where that comes into play and you enjoy that.
You know, it's funny because when The Mandalorian first came out, I had some friends who were like, oh, we love Pedro Pascal. That's not how they sounded, by the way. I'm just making it tacky. I go, and then when he took us, because I hadn't seen him in anything that I knew of, but then I realized he was in Game of Thrones. But then when he took his helmet off, I'm like, really? But now it's like Pedro Pascal, yes.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. But yeah, there was something that was awesome to see him. The two moments he took off his helmet were both really powerful moments. First time, of course, when IG-11 helped him. And then, of course, to say goodbye to Grogu. And I suspect we're going to see him with his helmet off this season. James?
I think so.
I
agree.
I'm kind of going there. Scott? Yeah. Oh, he's down on a...
I disagree. I think that he is so fixated on, you know, the way and, you know, and everything else that they've got going for them in that capacity. I mean, he worked so hard to go back to the living water, to become redeemed and everything else. And so I don't think he will. I think that if we get a glimpse of it, it'll be in a way that is out of, you know, he's out of view of everybody else kind of thing. Yeah. Sort of like when they ate, you know, when they had the meal when Bo was the, you know, was the head of the, you know, the hunting party. And so she got to stay by the fire and everybody else had to disperse. So I think that'd be the only way we'd see it.
Well, it turns out we're talking about The Mandalorian first. We'll do Bad Batch second, maybe third. We'll see. But just a few things that I didn't catch in the a couple episodes ago when Bo-Katan rescued Din from the Living Waters. And we were made to, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, to think that he was taken by the Mythosaur.
No.
But the caverns were so deep, he just fell and just sank.
Well, because they had been bombed. And so the steps that led into the Living Waters would have continued. And because it had, you know, caved in and the steps were gone, it was sort of like, you know, one, two, three, four, five. Whoop! And so that's why he fell. It wasn't because he got grabbed by the Mythosaur.
Yeah.
Simply, he fell.
Well, and you would have seen the waters, too, you know, shift a bit.
But if he was not, but if he was drugged down by the Mythosaur, why didn't he use his jetpack to come back up?
Well, he had taken it off, if you remember. He had taken it off before he got in the water.
I forgot that point. Yeah.
And I don't know, it was, anyway, I loved that kind of tidbit. And I don't know, whatever. But anyway, we had a fantastic episode. You know, we opened with High Magistrate Greef Karga getting, Karga.
Yep.
Yeah.
Getting hailed by the odd looking pirate king.
The Moss Pirate King.
Moss.
He
was very green.
Very planty.
You know, Greef Karga's playing a lot of sides of the cards, but I liked his, you know, approach to, hey, we're, you know, just bureaucratic nonsense that as you see Navarro growing. And, boy, they have some issues coming their way. And, you know, we got to see, I mean, we're just building up to the start of the First Order. This is so exciting. What's our X-Wing pilot guy's name?
I can't remember his name. I know that he did Kim's Convenience. He's actually been on that show. And so that's where he originally got his start from an acting perspective. He's also a member of the 501st.
Yes, actually. And I think he tweeted or something to somebody that he either would have a better costume than anybody or could provide his own costume and somehow got brought in to play that role as an X-Wing pilot. But we're seeing more of just how fractured the New Republic is. And Scott and I were talking over this weekend, which was, you know, when we go back to the OG, you know, you're seeing those 30 rebel pilots with some minimal leadership on Yavin 4 before they take down the first Death Star. Oh, those terrorists. They weren't equipped to take over an entire galaxy. So by the time Return of the Jedi happened, you have a bit of a fleet, but you still don't have much. And we're seeing just the crackling of that. I don't even think there was a foundation at all for the New Republic. And I don't think they ever really gained traction. So, you know, for him to fly to Coruscant and we see Kale chips. Nope. I'm going off a rail.
What are you talking about?
What's her name? The evil Moff Gideon's gal.
What was it, like M56 or whatever else that they're talking about?
Something like that.
They can't you know, protect the mid-rim, so there's nothing they can do for the outer rim, especially when there's no, you know, they're not part of the New Republic.
See, but you're jumping too far ahead, because one of the best things about this episode that I absolutely loved was getting to see Zeb in live action.
Oh, did he go to Coruscant after that? I thought it was
yes,
when he got back.
No, no, no. He shows up right after he gets when, and his name's Carson Teva.
Okay.
That's the pilot's name. He gets the message from Greef Karga.
That's right at the bar.
And he's looking at it and he goes, yeah, we're going to go at the bar. And that's where all of the directors were in there. So Dave Filoni was sitting in there as Trapper Wolf. And then you had Carson Teva and you had a few others. But Zeb makes an appearance in the very first time live action. And so we're seeing more of that Rebels and Clone Wars crossover into the real. So I think that was one of the best part of the whole thing. And
what's his last name? I know it's so fantastic.
Oh, Zeb's?
Zeb.
He is
Obadiah?
Orlinius. Orlinos, I believe is how. So his actual name is Garazeb Zeb. Orlinos.
It's like Thrawn's name, you know, Mithrando.
Mithranadul. Yeah.
Mithranadul.
Yes.
Oh. So before we go to break, James, you know, we're talking a little bit about The Mandalorian, but without giving spoilers for the rest of the episode, who's your top three characters on Mando? I'm going to guess the first one, Mando.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. What's the next two?
It's a hard decision. I will go with my number two is Grogu.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people's number one is Grogu, but I like it. All right. And your number three?
The armor.
Oh,
the
yeah.
armor.
I like her mystery. And we will talk more about her mystery as we come back after this break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Nerd Show, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to The Nerd Show here with Scott, Micah, James, and myself talking some Mandalorian.
And who are you again?
Darth Espinkus.
There we go. Thank you.
Yeah.
Micah's still going to play it.
Darth Espinkus. I'm going to try and get one in every segment.
There we go. All right. So a couple of things we want to touch on The Mandalorian before we dive into the season finale of The Bad Batch. So we get a little... You know, and Scott and I talked about this offline. R5 kind of gave away their position. I'm surprised they didn't, like, shoot him right then and there.
Yeah, I thought that was what was going to happen.
Yeah, that was a little bit odd. But, you know, we get him show up, start to ask the question, and he leaves. And I think one of the best parts of the episode is then when Din Djarin gets up and asks them to take up arms and go help the folks of Navarro.
Who, if we remember from season one, it was Greef Karga who led the Imperials to the covert.
The covert, And so that switch, and they did such a great job writing that speech of Paz Vizsla's because you're going like, come on, man. I know he doesn't like this guy and everything else. And then all of a sudden he makes that switch and going, we are Mandalorians. This is the way. And so they do that. I love the way that that happened.
I got goosebumps right whenever he said that.
I did too.
It was great. You
I
know?
Cheered
and,
out loud.
And that's voiced by none other than Jon Favreau.
Yes, it is.
I'm curious if we ever see his face, if it will actually be Jon in armor or somebody else.
I believe it'll be somebody else unless they do a really close up shot of that because – I've seen Jon Favreau, and he does not have that physique.
That stature?
No.
Yeah.
He's a little shorter, I think.
Yeah.
For a stormtrooper?
He's a little short.
And a Mandalorian and about anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fantastic. We see a really well-done battle. And Bo-Katan, I mean, she used to lead raids on the Empire and other Mandalorians. Yep. So you're seeing her leadership and her battle experience come through. And it was entertaining. You had the monkeys, the salacious crumb-like monkeys, helping to prevent an ambush for the Mandos. I mean, it was just a great action sequence that was just, I mean, stellar. And I think, James, I know where you're going with this, and with Micah, too, the best part of that battle for a lot of people was probably seeing the armorer come behind the Trandoshan, who had that just big big rifle he was shooting on the Mandos.
It got scary whenever they brought that out.
Oh, gosh. And she just... I mean, who does she remind you of? Like, who? I'm blanking on like characters who don't use ordinary weapons, but just like can go to town. No one.
You know, kind of like a female Thor.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, wielding that hammer or so.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go.
She is worthy.
She is.
She's all the worthy.
And, oh, it was amazing. That was a great battle sequence. And then we got into them going back into their old covert space and the armorer inviting Bo-Katan in to have a little chat.
Yeah. And there we see the armorer kind of figuring out they need to evolve and they need to grow. And it was interesting to see Bo-Katan struggle with the ask that the armorer says, remove your helmet. She's like, but wait, this is the way and we got to do all this stuff.
This is the way, yeah.
And was really not comfortable with it. And then the armorer says, do you or do you not respect my station does? And then she says, remove your helmet. And then when they walk out and seeing everybody kind of look at them, and I love the way that they built that they're going to have to, you know, she can walk in both worlds. And she's going to have to do that in order to retake Mandalore.
Now, help me understand that walk in both worlds. I get it, but is it because she saw a mythosaur or she was in the living waters? Because if that's the case, why can't Din walk both
ways? That's what I was thinking. That's what I asked Dad, but he had no idea.
I think some of it is because, you know, following the creed the way that Din Djarin and the armor and Paz and the members of this covert are doing things is that old way. And Bo kind of represents that next iteration, that next generation. Okay, she's evolved and moved forward into doing the things that they did for Mandalore, kind of almost like in this second generation, if you will, and that she's able to do both.
Well, and she's known. Her face is known.
Yeah, her face is known.
Yeah, everyone knows her face.
And people will follow her name and will follow her face. And being able to be a part of both of those groups to kind of bring them together, because this is ultimately what they want to do. And I would be remiss if I did not comment about the fact that Greef Karga gifts the Mandalorian an entire canyon for them to settle
insane.
In. But do you remember what the name of the canyon was, James?
Lava Flats.
It was Bullock Canyon.
Yes.
The Lava Flats to the Bullock Canyon.
Yeah, which Bullock is an honorary reference to Jeremy Bullock, the original Boba Fett. And so just amazing little nod. And again, if you're a fan, you get it, you love it. And if you're not, then it's just, okay, some other name of a canyon.
Yeah. And for those who are upset that there's so many of these little Easter eggs, get over yourself because they are entertaining and they don't toss any of the story out of the way.
Heck yeah.
As a moderate Star Wars fan, I didn't notice a lot of these.
But now that you do know it, are you angry?
I'm not upset.
Wow.
You know what? That's kind of a cool shout out.
It is.
Cool
absolutely.
Shout out. Absolutely. So anyone who's mad about that, go put on a Chiefs hat. sorry. I'll let that go.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's fantastic. And shout out to the late Jeremy Bullock.
Yep.
What an inspiration.
You know,
with such few lines, but
Well, and now he doesn't have any lines because it's been redone by Tamara Morrison.
So. Yeah.
But, you know, then we have the last one when, you know, the pilot Carson finds the Republic shuttle. And I loved how it was a Lambda class shuttle.
Yeah, we saw Vader in that in episodes 5 and 6.
And we see the Emperor in it in episode 6. And now all of a sudden the Republic's using it as a prisoner transport. And so here's the question I would love to ask everybody here. They find Beskar wedged in there.
Yep.
Did the Mandalorians go in and take him? Or is Thrawn setting the Mandalorians up? Or did Thrawn hire the Mandalorians to go get Moff Gideon for him?
Yep. I was going with hired.
I don't know.
You're going with hired?
But
hired by Thrawn?
I'm waiting to see the fruition of that.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
I don't think they were hired. If we remember, the Death Watch used to work with the Empire alongside. They were, I won't say allies, but they didn't hate each other.
But I still think they were mercenaries. I mean, the Death Watch was still being paid and bankrolled by the Empire.
You know, it's interesting. I think one missed opportunity was to not have Cara Dune, her corpse, in there, because they've written her out of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a good ending to her.
Yeah.
But, you know, I because if anyone was going to go after them, I mean, how many different factions of Mandalore is out there? There's probably five major ones. I don't know, Scott. I don't know.
And what about the faction that Maul kind of leg.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Death Watch, wasn't it? Or was that a different
claim? I think that was either part of Crimson... Well, it was part of when he was running Crimson Dawn. Mm. So whether they stuck with that or not. But then you had Concord Dawn, and then you had some of the other folks of the Death Watch. So, yeah, there's a number of different ways that could go. I just like the way they're teasing that up. And
well, I mean, if we're looking at anything that can go in space, surely Mandalorians could fly in space with their helmets and everything. Yep. So
yeah. That's
very possible, especially with the Beskar. I don't think Thrawn was setting it up to incite a civil war, which is what I think we're going to end up having with the Mandalorians.
It's
but
I
do think that we're going to see, you know, because Bo-Katan's now able to go out and start recruiting. I think the next cameo we're going to get from Rebels is going to be oh my gosh.
Sabine.
Mm-hmm. Sabine Wren.
Can't wait for that.
That's another Clan Wren.
Yep.
But I think if anyone hated Moff Gideon the most, it was going to definitely be Bo-Katan. And if she didn't go out there and find him, then surely I think Mandos were hired by the Empire to go get him. But it would be cool to see. I mean, let's go back to when Ahsoka was first introduced. You know, when she approaches the Countess or whatever she is, take me to your leader. And everyone,
your master.
And everyone, I promise you, everyone probably thought Moff Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
And when she, I mean, Scott, I'll remember this to my dying day of when she says, take me to Grand Admiral Thrawn, of my jaw hitting the floor
just like,
yes.
Yeah!
So I'm so excited for the layering they have here to really tie in a lot of just stories coming together. I think this is what Marvel did so well in their first Avengers run, you know, those dozen years or so. Yep. Star Wars is doing that with their TV shows, both animated and live action, and just amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, stay tuned for more of the Nerd Show. We've got the Bad Batch, and then Scott and Mike are going to talk
Picard.
Thanks, Pincus.
That's twice. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No, I have been told that my singing hurts people's feelings, so I don't sing.
Oh gosh,
that hurts
a lot of people.
It does,
but also
pretty accurate.
Yeah,
you know what else hurts?
Darthus Pincus. Well done, Micah.
But doesn't it also make me the savior of Grogu?
Darthus Pincus. I think that's a huge stretch considering that we now know that it was a Nubian fighter that left, but they were humans that were on that ship, not Gungans.
You know, I really enjoyed a little meme or something that popped up the other day which explained, you know, the people of Naboo never forgot about Qui-Gon's sacrifice to protect them. And that was one reason they might have been there to help Grogu. So I'm excited to see how that story might unfold, or if that's where all we're going to get of Grogu's backstory. But wow, we had a really powerful ending to season two of The Bad Batch. A couple of shocking moments. We were right about a couple of things.
Yeah,
that was cool. But wow, Scott, what are your takeaways from that episode? Those episodes.
Well, I liked the fact that we actually saw Krennic in animated. And to me, we were just talking about this in the last segment, how we're seeing that crossover of these animated characters move into the film world. I love the fact that we're seeing all of these other characters from film come into animation. And this is the first time we've ever seen director Krennic. And then
Captain Krennic.
Or Captain Krennic at the
time. Just in relation to Captain Crunch, who was working on a different project.
No, or was he Admiral Krennic?
No, he was Captain.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, and then he says, Project Stardust.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was a pause.
Yeah, that was so good.
It looked at my children. Okay.
All right, you get this, right?
We're going to go back. If I've got to play that movie for you, we can.
Yes. We'll pause here, and we're going to spend the next 2 hours watching Rogue One, and then we'll come back and finish this episode.
And then you're ready.
So,
then you're ready.
That was good. And then also we talked about we were going to lose somebody out of the Bad Batch. And I'm a little bit torn on how I feel about the fact that they were really trying to play up, you know, the potential romantic relationship for Tech.
Right.
And then he's the one we lose.
Well, we got that a lot in The Walking Dead, which made that really frustrating of a show. But yeah, I think I knew then something's going to happen, and it was probably going to be Tech. But also, some fans pointed out that he had some boosters on his backpack, so he might have survived. And we talked about this the other day driving down to Denver.
To get your Tesla, I might add.
Oh, yes. The one that looks like a stormtrooper.
Yes.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. God, she's beautiful. Her name's Ahsoka, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Because she is white, and I like her white lightsabers.
Here. There you go.
Yes.
Anyway, I don't want to say this, but I hope Tech is really gone. I mean, he's incredibly valuable as an enhanced clone, and you can't see Morgoth. What's his name? Murdoch. Marlock.
Hemlock.
Hemlock.
Yes.
Headlock.
Wow. Samsonite.
Yeah, I was way off.
Wow.
You know, wouldn't want to waste any of the clones' DNA, like of them enhanced clones.
Yep.
But I thought, it was powerful. The music was phenomenal. I mean, the music sometimes in these animated shows are just as good as what we see in the films.
Yeah.
How many times can someone fall in Star Wars and come back unexpected, you know?
I think Robot Chicken answered that question, and it's four or five. I mean, you know,
I'm still waiting for Mace Windu.
Yeah. Well, there's theories out there that he's still around.
And it's terrific writing as well. Like they form an emotional attachment for him. Oh, there's a relationship outside, and your mind begins to wonder, and then they take that away from you, and it's much more impactful that way.
I will say I relate very much to Tech because I don't think he knew that she liked him, and I am that way too. I struggle. Scott, I know you're kind of there. I'm interested.
Not.
Well, I'm not. But
thank you. I appreciate that inside reference. Let's just say, sometimes someone has to beat me over the head with a fact before I pick up on it.
So I'm right there. I don't even. So. It's a 3x6 now, not a 2x4. Is what I need. Knock some sense into
me. 3x6. Have you purchased many of those at Home Depot as of late?
No.
Okay.
He dabbles in odd.
Yeah. Apparently,
It all equates to one half.
Later,
right?
We're going to take Nick on a Home Depot trip so he knows. The different sizes of wood, and that 3x6 is not a normal size of wood.
I know. That's why I thought it was going to be a funny joke.
Oh, well.
Swing and a miss.
Good
memory. What was it?
Okay, goodness.
So what else do we have in Bad Batch? James, what about you? So we've talked about both episodes. What is one of the biggest kind of like shocker moments you thought of in the last two episodes?
Well, whenever Omega got like kidnapped and she was getting taken to
Mount Tantus,
yep. Whenever she went to Crosshair and the doctor said, I don't remember what she said. She said something like,
you don't trust me.
Yeah, you don't trust me. And then she took off her little glasses and stuff and said that we're sisters. And then that shocked.
Yeah.
That was a.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Do you think that she is a clone just like Omega, except she has accelerated aging, which is why she's so much older?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
That's what I think.
I was trying to think whether or not she was created, because now if we think about it, we're now 22 years, past where we would have been when the clones were first created. So she technically could have been created at the same time and would be about the same age as Boba at this point in time in
the
chronology.
But if she has pure blood, like what they're trying to get from Omega, then why would they need Omega so bad?
Yeah.
They make you think that Omega's, she's the one,
Well, so. I think a lot of us were maybe thinking in season one, could she be, force sensitive? And that's what I'm curious about, too, is that not necessarily in the DNA. So you can't get that from your parents. I mean, Jedi, it's the Force that creates that. So do you think there could have been, they made millions of clones.
Yeah.
Are you saying not one of them was Force sensitive?
Maybe. And maybe that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just thought of that I never thought of it before, that it doesn't really matter about the genetics of it. It just happens. But I think that they really brought her back for, was it Lamassu?
Yeah.
To get her to do the bidding of them working on the cloning.
And we saw Hemlock be so, maniacal about it. It's like, I know this is one of the few things you care about. And so if you do not cooperate or you fail, Omega will suffer. And so he is just an evil, evil, evil guy.
Yeah.
Empire.
But we see the Bad Batch escape barely and some epic. I mean, it reminded me of the end of the first Lord of the Rings movie, The Fellowship, where I was waiting for Hunter as Gimli to be like, let's go hunt some orc. Yes. But they are going to be fierce going after and trying to get Omega back. But we were right earlier on the season, and we got hints of this early on when they were doing that kind of pod racing type of thing
of Sid
mm-hmm. backstabbing. And Scott, you made a comment the other day that I really enjoyed. And what was that?
I'm trying to remember because
it was about her facial expression.
Just her facial. Oh, yeah. We were talking about how well the animators did to make you see her facial expressions that there was conflict. You knew there was something going on, and you didn't need Wrecker to say, why are you being so nice? Because she offered him a drink and said it was on the house. But just her eye movement, all of those little things that we look for in actors and actresses to give those things away, those nonverbal cues, we saw those in the animation, and it was great.
I know earlier this season, we were in Micah 2, was like, well, what's Hunter's specialty other than being a tracker? I wonder, because he had some pretty darn good aim, and probably was second to just Crosshair in the Bad Batch. Do you think he might have a little bit of everybody, a little bit of Wrecker, a little bit of Tech, a little bit of Crosshair?
Rock and roll?
A little bit. A little bit of Monica.
I think that's a really good point, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, he is bigger than Tech was.
Yep.
We don't see much demonstration of the super strength with Wrecker, but I mean, he's a leader for a reason, and we saw some displays of Crosshair the first of the two episodes with his aim with a pistol from a pretty far distance, and he took down a fighter for crying out loud.
Yeah,
like what?
Gosh, what a great season of Bad Batch! I mean, all around A+. Micah, Nerd Show stamp of approval. You think, Scott?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nerd Show stamp of approval.
Epic. Stay tuned as Micah and Scott discuss Picard.
Picard.
Welcome back to the Nerd Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. We are back for part four, sans Nick, a.k.a. Darthus Binkus, because he has not done his homework and has not kept up on Picard, and so...
Has he even seen one episode of Picard?
I don't know if he has. We need to continue to give him grief about that and chastise him for not keeping up on his homework.
Well, to be fair, I didn't keep up on my homework for that show of yours that I stopped watching.
The Mandalorian?
No, The Mandalorian. I like The Mandalorian.
Batch.
I'm talking about, what is it called? The Rings of Power. I stopped watching
that's
that
true.
It was just not good.
Well, Micah, that was like 3 months ago. I don't remember anything that happened like 2 weeks ago, let alone 3 months ago.
What did you just say?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
All right, so... Latest episode of Picard. You keep saying that you're having problems with the characters. You don't like the way they're written because they're not their characters. And maybe because I'm not as big of a Star Trek buff as you are, that I'm not seeing it. But there was a lot of things I enjoyed about this episode. There was only one thing I really did not.
Okay. Let's start off with the one thing that you did not.
The one thing that I did not is, why is it all of a sudden we now have Jack has the ability to control other people's motions? And it's like, so are we now using the Force in Star Trek? What the heck?
Yeah. So this is bad writing. It's bad writing. It's you have a problem and now I'm writing a bunch of different stuff to solve the problem. I don't know how to solve the problem. We are 6-7 episodes in. I think this was the 7th episode.
I think so, yeah.
We're 7 episodes in. We have 3 episodes left, and we have to solve everything. Let me just start giving this guy a superpower.
Yeah.
It's no. You can't just make this is why I think this person, the writer, kept screwing up the characters. Not very, like, setting stuff up, but not knowing how to transition from one problem to another problem, not truly understanding who the characters are. I think this was just a fanboy who was a fanboy of Star Trek in general, but not a Next Generation fan.
Could be.
And you should have a Next Generation fan write this, or at least a Next Generation fan double check.
Well, and you know, the other thing that I guess I should say I probably wasn't a big fan of is it Torov? Is that how you say his name?
And which character?
The one at the beginning.
Oh, Tuvok.
Tuvok, yeah, sorry, Tuvok. When Seven of Nine is talking to Tuvok, and it's like, okay, we've literally introduced another old school character back from the grave in order to just give more screen time to another previous character that we're able to bring out of the Next Generation.
That's a problem
and,
that
yeah.
we have nowadays across all nerdy platforms.
Yep.
It's making an Easter egg a plot point.
Yeah.
You didn't need to do that. You didn't need to introduce a new character. He's a character that everybody likes. You didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
And it's more bloated.
Well, and I get the reason that they did it. They're trying to show how far into the, you know, into the upper echelons of Starfleet that the changelings have infiltrated. And
but
some
we already
of
knew that.
We already knew that. You're right. One of the things I really did like is I really appreciated getting Vadek's backstory. That all of the stuff that we've been watching for seven episodes now finally makes sense. I think we could have done this sooner, but whatever. But I did like the way that happened and how we got to that.
They could have done it sooner. They could have also done it better. My problem is it's always Starfleet did it. It's always this is another one of those, well, Starfleet did it. Starfleet is the bad guy in this situation. So now I'm going to get revenge on Starfleet. And it's like how many times can we make Starfleet the bad guy? Yeah, we know they do some really horrible stuff, but
yeah.
You're going to make them the bad guy once again? Make another – find another plot point.
Yeah. So I guess here's my other question I was thinking of just now. When are the Borg going to come back? Because if you remember at the end of the last season, or maybe that was the end of season one. It was last
They're
going to
come back, aren't they?
I think they might because they had said that there was a greater threat to the universe coming and that they were going to – align forces, essentially. They at least kind of made that commitment, and then they just went poof, and now we haven't seen any hint of the Borg as of late, but I keep thinking that they're going to show up at some point in time, and we haven't seen them yet.
I hope they don't come back. They really kind of screwed the Borg. They kind of, like, took what was great and epic about the Borg and really, like, really flushed it down the toilet.
Yeah.
Really flushed it down. This is a problem I'm having with this series. It's taking everything that you like and saying, well, all this is these bad guys are actually we're going to change them fundamentally. So like they're just not as much fun. Yeah. They're not a threat anymore.
Now,
and Starfleet is still evil.
Yeah. Now, can we give a shout out to Brent Spiner and I'm blanking on the actor that plays Geordi.
LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar Burton.
Reading Rainbow.
I mean, that sequence between the two of them was really good. And Brent Spiner being able to switch between those two personas, between Data and Lore.
You didn't need sound effects for that, by the way.
No, you didn't. But action and just acting-wise, he does a great job. Just his facial expressions when he's in the two characters are different, and you see it. And so I'm appreciating that element of it. It makes me not get lost and fall out of the story because I'm seeing really good acting and I'm seeing really good, you know, just overall interactions between the characters that really draw you in. So I thought that was great.
Yeah. You didn't need the lights in his eyes. You didn't need the sound effects whenever he changes. Just let the actor do his job. Do production companies, do they think that the viewer is stupid?
I think they usually have to play to the lowest common denominator.
I think that's exactly what they're doing. No. They're trying to target, and this is not an insult to any Star Wars fan, but they're trying to target Star Wars fans, say, hey, Star Wars fan, here is this. Here is all this cool stuff. So they're kind of writing a bad Star Trek to maybe get in some of those Star Wars fans.
So Micah's
I'm not insulting Star Wars in any way.
That the Star Trek writers are intentionally tanking their story
appeal
to Star Wars fans.
They're not telling that deep of a story, which is what Star Trek is supposed to be. They're just telling a very surface story, which is always what the movies were, very surface.
Yeah.
And they kind of had to be to get people to go into the theaters. But this is a very surface story. It's very vanilla. But it's lots of action. It's not really... To me, it's not really very Star Trek. Which is part of the reason why I'm not enjoying it. I want something of substance. This isn't really that substantive.
But how deep can you get in 10 episodes of 35 minutes apiece?
You could get pretty deep in an episode of 42 minutes apiece. It depended on the episode. You could watch some Next Generation episodes, which were pretty turd-y.
Oh.
And you could watch some that were like really, really deep.
I just feel like that for the size and scope of the story arc they're trying to paint, that you would...
They're putting too much.
Yeah.
Shoving too much into the paper shredder, and now it's jammed. Can't get rid of any of that documentation. Yeah.
Well, I'm enjoying it. I will just say that I have enjoyed it. And having not watched The Next Generation religiously when I was younger, I've enjoyed it. So I like it. I know you're not a fan.
I'm warming up to certain parts of it. I still have some very huge fundamental issues with it being bloated and shallow and the characters not being what they are. And maybe it's the fact that I'm 42 and old. And, you know, back in my day when I was 6 years old and started watching The Next Generation.
I was learning to drive. So thanks, Micah. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's episode of The Nerd Show.
I respect you, my elder.
As you should. We appreciate you guys listening. And Nerdians, you stay nerdy.